This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And a very happy 4th of July. Tim Mize with you here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We've got a special show for you today. Going to be catching up with a few Division I athletes. Christina Kernich from Mount Olive playing softball at SLU. Kelsey Card, of course, from Carlinville, track and field star at Wisconsin. And Dylan Miller just recently graduated from Hillsboro High School, off to North Dakota State to play college basketball. So we will catch up with those three youngsters from around the area and get their thoughts on their outstanding high school careers and also what the collegiate ranks will have in store. So we will get to those interviews here throughout the hour here on WSMI Sports Saturday. The 4th of July, always a big day in the world of competitive eating, and the hot dog eating contest is today. That'll be like, I think, 11 o'clock our time, high noon there, Coney Island in New York. Is Joey the Jaws Chestnut will try to break his world record. I think 69 hot dogs is the world record, but I've got some of the competitive eating records in front of me here. We'll get to those here a little bit later on in the hour, and I don't really consider the competitive eating to be a sport. But if it's on ESPN, then it has to be a sport in some capacity. So we'll give you some thoughts here on the competitive eating. But if you think you can eat 182 strips of bacon in 5 minutes, perhaps the world of competitive eating is for you. Just, oh boy, gut-wrenching. Cardinal baseball today, that's been a bit gut-wrenching here the last 4 days. Four-game losing streak for the Cardinals. They've lost two in a row to the White Sox, now two in a row to the Padres. We'll have them live this afternoon, 12:20, over on WSMI AM 1540. Cardinals still the best record in Major League Baseball. They are 6 games clear of the Pirates in the National League Central Division, but such a long season, and it's always fun, I guess, to kind of get yourself worked up about a very small sample size of baseball games. And from the Cardinals' perspective, their first 4-game losing streak of the year. And when you can make it to the 4th of July before you have your first 4-game losing streak, that says a lot about where your club is at. And right now, the Cardinals, the best record in baseball. Injuries, of course, have been a concern. They will continue to be a concern for the Cardinals. They hope to get Matt Holliday back, maybe around the All-Star break. Offensively, they are not doing much right now, really sputtering. 1-2 runs seems to be about all they are getting here over the last week. The pitching has held up. The pitching on pace to be about as good of a pitching staff as baseball has seen since they lowered the mound after 1968. But you can't win every game 1-0 or 2-1. And at some point, the offense is going to have to step up here and get something done to take a little pressure off this pitching staff. But as of right now, not a whole lot to complain about if you're a Cardinal fan as we sit here on the 4th of July. 6-game lead over the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they had the best record in all of baseball. Fireworks tonight at Litchfield. They will begin at 9:30. Marina 1 at Lake Lou in Litchfield. Shaping up to be a wonderful Independence Day. Looks like the weather is going to be cooperating here across mid-Illinois. Coming up later in the hour, we are going to catch up with Kelsey Card. She has Olympic aspirations coming up for the 26 games down in Brazil. We will catch up with Kelsey here later on Sports Saturday. Right now, we want to catch up with Christina Kernich. Christina graduated from Mount Olive High School, playing softball at SLU. And last week, Terry Tote able to catch up with Christina and her father.
Tell us about the success in recent years of this Mount Olive High School softball team. This has been pretty spectacular.
It can trace its steps back to when Christina and a group of kids 2 years younger than Christina started playing t-ball back in the Mount Olive Recreational Program. And we did that for a few years and then played in the park board program for a few years, and then in 2006 Christina decided that she wanted to play at a higher level, and we embarked on the adventure of travel ball, not really knowing what to do or how to do it or where to go, but we just kind of went out there and took a look and see what we could find, and we ended up with the Black Widows out of Glen Carbon, Illinois, and we stayed there I guess that was until probably 2012. And in 2000, 8, my other two daughters started playing for the Widows, and we all left in 2012. And actually, I guess Christina left in 2012, and the others left in 2013, and they all decided they wanted to play for the Collinsville Extreme, and that was a great choice and a really good learning environment, and we've been there ever since. And that group has really been the nucleus of the junior high program, which then grew into the high school program, and that's just made a huge impact on our ability to compete as a small school, because we don't have the luxury of having a lot of players like the Edwardsvilles and the Collinsvilles and Granite Cities do, where they have a roster of maybe 18 to 22 kids. We've played with 9 before, which was last year's roster, and this year we had 10. So we have a small group, but they work pretty hard.
When did you realize that? Did you know all along, or was there a point where you realized that Christina was had the ability to be a Division I athlete in college?
Well, I thought that that possibility was there a number of years ago, mainly because she had the desire to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really all kind of comes from that. And the determination and the commitment and the ability to put forth the effort and sometimes sacrifice some other things you'd rather do to go to practices or practice on your own or go to tournaments when everybody else is going to the local homecoming and all those kind of other activities makes a difference, and you have to choose.
Perhaps the best question to ask Christina is, when did you finally figure out, I've got a talent here that I can use and enjoy, and you decided you wanted to put forth the effort and be part of these traveling teams and this extended effort?
I feel like I really knew I wanted to play college softball when I switched teams to the Extreme. The coaches were a lot different. They were a lot more, were a lot more into recruiting and like tough tournaments. And I just realized that I had like a newfound love for the game, and I really wanted to take it further.
So you basically were looking for another challenge.
Yes. Yeah. I had a different coach, but my dad has always been there. He's helped coach a lot, and he still helps me coach with the Extreme and whatnot. But I was ready for something more, so they pushed me, and it was a lot of work and a lot of tears at times, but it was all worth it. The amount of hours I put in is crazy, but I wouldn't change it for anything. I mean, I have, like he said, I've missed a ton of events that all my friends got to take part in, and I'm still missing stuff, but it's all worth it.
And it's at SLU, right?
Yes.
Why SLU?
Why SLU? Well, it all started about a year and a half ago when I just started like going over there to catch one of my friends who mm-hmm. had already gotten an offer. And I was just like, oh, yeah, this is really nice and everything. And then I kept going back, and my dad actually graduated from there.
Okay.
So I kind of knew about it then. And then just talking to the coach more, and they have the perfect degree for me. So.
And that degree is?
Nursing.
Nursing. All right. What's different between taking your skill level from the junior high level, when all the girls were playing together and really starting to see some success? What's the difference between that level and the high school level?
The difference to me is the amount of hours you put in off the time, like not at practices with the whole team, but practicing on your own. And because in junior high, you can get away with that. In high school, and especially select ball, and now college, it's not enough. So you have to do more.
And now that you're in D1 program here, this is almost like a job, isn't it?
Yes, I'm not there yet, but I've already gotten like summer workouts, and they're tough. They expect a lot out of you, and yeah, it's a lot of hard work.
Back up a little bit. How much fun was it playing for the Wildcats?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. This year I got to play with both of my sisters, and my dad is my coach, and then my mom was on the sidelines. So that was a lot of fun. It's only happened, that was the second time, and it probably won't ever happen again. And I love, like, I obviously was the only senior, but a lot of the younger girls, like, are my sister's best friends, and they become really good friends of mine. So it was fun competing with them.
And that group of kids that your sister's in,
mm-hmm.
what a group of athletes. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, they're fun to compete with.
Well, they probably help push you as much as you push them.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure, yeah. Because we don't obviously have, like, we're not fighting for positions, but we're still trying to make each other better as best as we can.
And that was Christina Kernich talking about her career at Mount Olive and now her time at St. Louis University. 73 degrees here on your Independence Day Saturday. We are looking at low 80s for your high today. We'll get a full check of your weather coming up when Sports Saturday returns following these messages. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Cardinal Baseball for you this afternoon, hosting the Padres. Live coverage 12:20 today on AM 1540. Then the Redbirds back on the radio tomorrow afternoon as well, wrapping up that four-game set with San Diego live at 12:20 again tomorrow on AM 1540. And then what? Beginning Monday, 3 days, four games at Wrigley Field in Chicago against the Cubs. So we'll have a doubleheader on Tuesday the 7th, I believe it is, and that'll be a makeup of what was actually the second game of the year that had gotten rained out all the way back in April. So four games in 3 days, and Major League Baseball can turn just that quick. You know, Cardinals got the best record of baseball. They've been rolling along, not really too many bumps in the road, but all of a sudden they lose four in a row. Pittsburgh went on a little winning streak, and three games came off the lead just like that. The Cubs, after getting swept out of town, they were, what, like 11.5 back? They've won some ball games here during the Cardinals' slide, so they have inched a little closer, and it'll be a great opportunity for the Cubbies coming up beginning Monday to return the favor, and perhaps, you know, they sweep that four-game series there, and it's a whole different ball game with a lot of baseball left to play. So it'll be a very interesting week here for the Cardinals. They got to kind of right themselves the next 2 days against the Padres and then get ready for what will be a raucous Wrigley Field Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with a doubleheader scheduled for Tuesday. That is going to be a lot of fun. Coming up later on in the hour, we're going to bring you an interview we had with Kelsey Card earlier this week, as Kelsey, of course, at the University of Wisconsin, continuing her stellar track and field career. She will have her eyes on the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro coming up, what, next summer? A year from now, we'll be having Olympics down in Brazil. So we'll catch up with Kelsey coming up at about 9:30 here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Last week, of course, we got a chance to catch up with Hillsboro's own Dylan Miller. Dylan already up in North Dakota. He is at North Dakota State, where he will play for the Bison in the fall. And here's a little bit of our conversation with Dylan Miller.
We get a chance to catch up with Dylan Miller, a Hillsboro High School graduate who is going to be playing basketball for North Dakota State, a D1 school. And Dylan, first and foremost, congratulations. We're very proud of you. And are you at the school right now and participating in the summertime activities?
Yeah, I am up here right now. And like in the summer, like we have like camps and workouts and lifts and stuff, but it's the weekend right now, so we don't have anything.
Dylan, what did you learn about yourself or maybe about your love for the game of basketball this past season when you got injured in the middle of your senior year?
That I really hate missing games.
And as you were rehabbing and getting ready to come back, you were still part of the team. I mean, you were there. You were there at the ball games. You were cheering everybody on. You were still actively participating in the program itself.
Yeah, I was at every practice and every game. I was still trying to get my team to do the best they can and trying to make them better every day still.
Dylan, where did you see, or where was your game, would you say, the most improved from your junior year to your senior year? What were you really trying to focus on?
I think my scoring got, like, a lot better than what it was.
And is that a deal where you thought maybe, like, your mid-range jump shot improved a little bit?
Yeah, I thought it improved pretty well.
Let's compare what you're doing now as what happened during summertime and when you were in your high school era.
This is a completely different animal. It's a lot more fast-paced, a lot more stronger people, bigger people, and just we go harder in open gyms and everything. In high school, it was kind of like, hey, we're going to have fun this summer. Here, we're here to work.
Like a job, I guess.
Yeah, we're here to work.
So is it fair to say that the speed of the collegiate practice in the summer is quite a bit faster than the speed of the high school varsity game?
Yeah. You really just got to believe that you're one of the best, and that's why you're here, and that you can hang with anyone, and you just got to play your heart out.
Dylan, I would think one of the cool things about being a D1 college basketball player is, like, you get shoes and, like, sweatsuits and probably all sorts of nifty stuff.
Oh, yeah, we've already got a couple pairs of shorts, we got our practice shoes, and we've got some shirts, and we have jackets and stuff coming in, and our game shoes coming soon.
I would imagine, do you allow yourself to think about the possibility of playing in the big dance coming up in March?
Oh, I'm hoping that we'll get back there, and then we'll take it further than what they have ever done.
Dylan, explain to us a little bit about North Dakota State. A lot of people may be not familiar with where the school is located, how big of a school it is, and that sort of thing.
It is in Fargo, North Dakota, and this school is like a mid-sized school. There's, I think, about 15,000 people that go here.
What was the recruiting process like for you, Dylan, when you started whittling down the schools? So I know you had several schools interested in you. Take us through the process of how you settled on North Dakota State.
Well, I took visits everywhere and stuff like that, and I really just decided which one had the best basketball team, which basketball team had the best chemistry, and like best facilities and the best like program for my major, and this just felt like home too.
And your major is going to be what?
Computer science.
There we go.
There you go.
Make that money.
Yeah.
Play a little basketball and know how to program computer. There you go.
Dylan, I wonder if you could talk about what Joe Vanzo did for you throughout your high school career.
He helped me out so much. Every time I needed to get in the gym, I'd just call him up, and he'd get me in the gym, do workouts for me individually if I needed it. He talked to AU coach, or he talked to college coaches for me too, and he'll talk to them about me. And he really just like stepped my game up to the collegiate career.
That's Dylan Miller, Hillsborough High School graduate, and at North Dakota State playing for the Bison. And they've won a tournament game here, 2 years ago, been in the dance 3 of the last 4 years. So perhaps we will see Dylan Miller in the big dance coming up in March. And heard Dylan talking about the AAU circuit and how much that has really transformed the collegiate recruiting aspect of things. You don't really see a lot of guys getting recruited based on what they've done in high school necessarily. It's more about what they do during the summer on that AAU team and get around the country, get seen by all these different collegiate coaches, get scouted. So the AAU team, a lot to do with where Dylan Miller is at right now. And of course, Joe Vanzo, I remember talking to Joe about it before. The pressure that he was under, basically taking over the job, first year on the job, and all of a sudden he's got this D1 type of player, Dylan Miller, that shows up, and all of a sudden Joe's got to juggle all these different things besides just coaching his basketball team. He's got to look out for Dylan and try to get him all the information that he needs, and he was able to get it done, and hats off to Dylan Miller as he is off to North Dakota State to play for the Bison. And doesn't happen often. You know, think about Mike Tisdale from Riverton, of course, went to Illinois, played for 4 years, but you don't see many kids go to D1 basketball schools around here. You just don't see it. And Dylan got himself a full ride. So college costs may be going up, but not for Dylan Miller. He's got a full ride, and so does Kelsey Card. She got herself a full ride to the University of Wisconsin. Of course, Kelsey, she handpicked where she wanted to go. She could have gone to virtually any institution in this great country of ours, and she picked Wisconsin because that had the academic field that she was looking to settle down into. And what a career she has had, not only at the high school level, but she has transferred that to the collegiate level as well. She's got Olympic aspirations, potentially going to qualify for the games coming up in 2016. We had a chance to catch up with Kelsey Card earlier, and we're going to bring you that conversation with Cardinalville's Kelsey Card following these messages on WSMI's Sports Saturday.
Joining us on WSMI Sports Saturday, we are pleased to talk with Kelsey Card, whose name is all over the record books, both at the IHSA and IESA level, and is now competing for University of Wisconsin at the collegiate level. Kelsey, so good for you to join us. We really appreciate it. You have been one extremely busy lady, haven't you?
Yes, it has been a crazy year.
tell us, what was your most recent venue that you were competing?
I just finished that competition in Eugene, Oregon, at historic Hayward Field for the NCAA Outdoor National Championship.
And how did you do?
I just got back yesterday. It was good. I actually did really well. I managed to end up in second place in both of my events, the shot put and the discus. And I came out with a personal best in the shot put of 58 feet, 11 inches and a quarter, I think it was. And then a second lifetime, or a lifetime second best in the discus. It was like 194 or something feet. So all in all, it was a win. It was a really good meet for me.
Do you enjoy surprising yourself when you're able to do these personal bests?
It's kind of weird to explain, but it's just sort of like reaffirming, because it's just like you know that all of your hard work that you put in is coming out and showing something, and it's just a really good feeling of accomplishment and knowing you did what you set out to do and what you're wanting to do.
Kelsey, your exploits have been watched for years and years and years, but do you ever have a bad day where things just don't go right?
Oh my gosh, yes. All of the time. Like it's especially at this level, because of the way the training is set up, it's just like you can't expect to throw personal best at every meet. Like it's just not really feasible, and you have bad meets because you're working so intensely on fixing technical things that if you just get it off by a little bit, it can completely mess everything up. But you can't get down about it though, because you know it's just steps in the process. But yeah, I definitely have bad days.
And you are still pushing to get into the Olympics, is that correct?
I mean, as of now, that's the ultimate life goal, you know? It's still kind of a dream, but we'll see what happens.
When it comes to setting goals, how far ahead do you go?
So I just finished up my redshirt junior year, so I have, a collegiate year. I mean, I'll compete at the USA still for Wisconsin as part of my junior year, but I'll have one more year of collegiate competition, both indoor and outdoor. And so, I mean, I want to try to one up kind of what I did at outdoors this year, because I mean that's the ultimate goal, to keep getting better, but just to keep throwing farther. And I guess like with the Olympics thing, you know, it's, like I said, it's just kind of been, it's every serious athlete's lifetime goal, you know. So it's always kind of been there, I suppose. But yeah, I just, now that this year is mostly over, I'm just going to try to focus on the NCAA meets for next year and trying to do well on those.
So what does Kelsey Carr do in the off season?
Is there an off-season?
Is there an off-season, I guess, is the best question to ask. Do you have an off-season, Kelsey?
Yes and no. I mean, I guess people consider the fall our off-season, but it's just like, yes, it's technically a season of no competition, but it's of hard, serious training, because that's where you build the foundation for the season to follow in the spring. But, and I guess it kind of depends. For this summer, where and when I have time off, depending on how USA's go. So it's all still kind of up in the air, but I don't know, I'm hoping to maybe travel and see my family and do something fun with my fiance this summer, so we'll see what happens.
But you will be involved in competition this summer, correct?
Yeah, so I've got USA's back out in Eugene, Oregon, and then there's several different teams to try to qualify for this summer, so it just kind of depends on how I do at USA's, on if I get selected for those teams or not.
Are you ever able, I know obviously you have a busy schedule and you're pretty much either training or competing year-round, but are you ever able to keep up with what's going on around this area with maybe some of the track athletes you know that are still in high school?
I mean, I'm actually kind of lucky because my little brother just finished up his freshman year at Crownville High School, and my mom's still a teacher in the school district and everything, and I just through Facebook, and it is definitely pretty easy to keep in contact because I'm lucky because people do support track and post things about it, and like I said, I hear from my brother and my parents what's going on and read articles and everything, so I stay in touch.
You look back a few years, did you ever think that you would be at this point?
I feel like secretly, like deep down, that was always the plan to try to make it to this level. But I feel like I never really, I wouldn't say like believed it until I'm here. But it's strange though, because like I'm really happy that it's happened, but yet it's just like I want to keep trying to build and not really rest and just keep going forward as best I can. Like the things that I've gotten to do and the people I've gotten to meet, like I had no idea that I would get to experience all of that. And so it's been a really, really fun ride.
I often say that one of the most pleasurable parts of my job are the people that we get to meet, and you're included in that bunch.
Well, thank you.
You know, just fantastic people who have done wonderful things with their life and are still doing wonderful things. But you're probably in the same boat.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Not only the competitors, but just all of the people that go in to putting, just all the people I've come in touch with in my life, just like academically and then through everything in our athletic department, and then
even go broader to all of the fellow competitors and the coaches and the fans and like the down to the judges at the meet. Like it's just it's nuts. The crazy network of people that I've gotten to meet and be around, and oh my gosh, it's cool. When you really step back and look at it, it's like, oh.
Kelsey, we've been able to talk to a couple of athletes who are going into college to play Division I sports. Since you're there now and you've already had the experience, what are some pieces of advice you would give to athletes who are who either hope to play Division I sports or you know are still, I guess, kind of teetering on that?
Oh gosh, that is a loaded question. There's so many things.
Well, let's confine it. Let's confine it first to the competition athletically. What's expected?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's for me. It was hard because, and for a lot of kids that will be, well, pretty much all the kids that will be going into Division I or playing at the collegiate level, like they're used to kind of being the top cream of the crop in high school, you know, and so and then when you get to college, everybody's that good and better. So that was kind of a hard thing to like walk into and realize that it's going to be a bumpy road in the beginning, and you just have to kind of realize that and accept that your coaches are your coach, the coaches are your coaches because they know what they're doing and they know how to get you to that next level. So you just kind of have to be patient, I guess, with yourself and not get too frustrated and really trust in the process and that you will get there. Because for me, like, I mean, I did pretty well in the beginning, but it wasn't like high school. And so just being patient and relaxing and just doing everything that you're supposed to do and just believing in yourself and that it will work out, I think is the biggest thing, even if it seems really terrible and rough in the beginning.
So basically you're saying trust your coach, but enjoy the ride.
Yes, definitely. And stay positive. You have got to stay positive.
And balancing academics and athletics has got to be another challenge.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was tough. I mean, I kind of came from a lucky background just because of the academic standards of Carlinville, and I took 3 AP classes my senior year, so I felt really well prepared for college. And then UW is a good school as well. But with that, I just have to say, like, become best friends with classmates and. There is no shame at all in getting a tutor. They're the best thing in the world. They can only help you. And just working with your academic advisors and the professors, like you have to, you kind of have to think of it like a sport. It's because you have to take an active role in your training as well as your academics. And if you put forth the effort, those around you will see that and they'll do what they can to help you and help you learn better and reach the next goal.
So do you get excited when you do well academically, just like you do when you compete on the athletic field?
I do. I mean, in the beginning, I probably didn't study as hard as I should have. Well, I didn't study as hard as I should have, but I've gotten better over the years, and it's kind of funny because even though we're different majors, I always have an ongoing competition with my fiancé and who's going to get the better grades at the end of the semester. I think I slightly beat him out this last semester, so... And it depends on what sport you're doing, but it's just like, as of now, I want to throw after college, but it's just like at some point I have other like professional career goals. So I've realized that what I do academically matters. And not that it doesn't for the people, but it's just I've personally wanted to make it more of a priority because I know someday like I'll be going back and relying on that.
Kelsey Card at the University of Wisconsin, formerly of Carlinville High School, talking about her career here, and boy, hard to believe that she is what, redshirt junior now, and always competing, whether it be the shot, the discus, or for grades against her fiance. That's good stuff from Kelsey Carden. Best of luck to Kelsey, Christina, and Dylan and all their future endeavors here as they embark on, or in Kelsey's case, continue on the road down the life of a Division I athlete. 75 degrees here on Independence Day 2015. Fireworks tonight at Litchfield. Those will be at 9:30 at Marina One at Lake Lou. And going to be a great night for all that. Clear skies tonight, mid-60s for your overnight low here on the 4th of July. 75 degrees, winds coming from the east at 1 mile an hour. When we come back, we're going to run down some competitive eating records. Because, you know, 4th of July is kind of like the flagship day for the competitive eaters. They got their big hot dog eating contest in Coney Island. That has become a huge, huge event with Joey the Jaws kind of elevating that to an entirely different level. But hot dogs is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, these people, professional eaters, yes, you can be a professional eater. I don't know that there's D1 scholarships for competitive eating, but you can make a living doing it if you got the stomach, I guess, for it. So, you know, whether it's asparagus, bacon, chili, corn dogs, deep fried calamari, if you can eat it, there's pretty much a competitive eating record for it. So we're going to bring you some of the interesting ones here following these messages on WSMI Sports Saturday. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Cardinal baseball for you this afternoon. Live coverage 12:20 on WSMI AM 1540. And there hasn't been a lot of news here the last few days regarding that hacking scandal with the Cardinals and the Astros. The Cardinals, though, did make some news on that front. They fired their scouting director earlier this week, and he, I guess, allegedly is the perpetrator in the hacking scandal, and he released a statement through his attorney essentially saying that he was just going in to see if the Astros had taken any intellectual property from the Cardinals when Jeff Luhnow went from the Cardinals to the Astros organization. And that had been a storyline or a narrative that was out there initially when this story broke, that the Cardinals thought that Jeff Luhnow had basically stolen their intellectual property when he went to the Astros. So in retaliation to that, the Cardinals got into their system with some old passwords, extracted some things, and here we are. But at least according to the former scouting director of the Cardinals, he was merely doing it to get back at Luhnow and the Astros. But, you know, scouting director, that's not a low-level employee. It's not a high-level employee, but it's probably someone a little higher on the spectrum than folks within the Cardinals were probably hoping. I mean, the scouting director, that's a serious position. I mean, that's very important to an organization, especially like the Cardinals, that builds their team through the draft, up through the minor leagues, all those different aspects. So the scouting director, very important to the organization, and he's been canned as a result of the hacking investigation. So perhaps more bombshells to come in this regard. It sounds like the owner, Bill DeWitt, and the GM, John Mozeliak, are in the clear, I guess, in terms of knowing about this situation. You just never know, though. Until the federal investigation is over, we're just not going to know the extent of this. But as of right now, the scouting director for the Cardinals fired as a result of the investigation into the hacking of the Astro system. And it's all so stupid, is it not? I mean, come on. If it really is what it's been laid out to be, this has to be one of the dumbest quote-unquote scandals in the history of sport. Stupid for the Cardinals to do it, but if it was in fact just old passwords that they use, and you know how like in high school, like you try to like log into like a buddy's email account, just start guessing passwords, like, okay, this is what he likes, so just start randomly guessing. If that's what they did and actually got one that hit and got into the system, that's on the Astros. I mean, that's just laziness, if that's what happened. You know, it's not like you got some IT actual hacker in there doing hacky things. If you're just guessing passwords and one sticks, I don't know if that's really hacking. A crime, yes, still illegal, but hacking probably a bit of a strong term. So we'll see where the investigation goes. As of right now, has nothing to do with the on-field performance of the Cardinals. They're riding a 4-game losing streak for the first time this year. They've lost 2 in a row to the Padres here after dropping 2 in a row to the White Sox. We'll have them on the radio here today and tomorrow, live at 12:20 on WSMI AM 1540. Time for a check of your weather brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Looking at sunshine this afternoon, high temps in the low 80s. Clear tonight with overnight temps in the mid-60s. Should be gorgeous for the fireworks this evening. Sunshine tomorrow, upper 80s for your high temp. clear tomorrow night with lows in the upper 60s. Rain moves in for next week. Monday, just a 20% chance of showers, up to a 60% chance of rain on Monday night. And then on Tuesday, we cool down into the 70s, an 80% chance of rain Tuesday, 40% chance of rain Tuesday night, and then a 50% chance of rain on Wednesday. Right now, it is 76 degrees, light east winds at 2 miles an hour. This check of WSMI radar weather brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. I've always loved the hot dog eating contest here on the 4th of July. I don't know why. It's just something about a table full of people up there stuffing as many hot dogs and buns as they can into their mouth, dipping them into the water to get the bun all mushy. I like it. I don't know why. It should probably be on ESPN The Ocho, more so than the big dog ESPN. But hey, it's a big event. Thousands and thousands of people flood down to Coney Island to watch this event each and every year. It used to be Kobayashi, the Japanese guy, was the big draw until he got taken down by Joey the Josh Chestnut on one afternoon there in Coney Island. And since that time, the reign of Joey the Jaws has begun, as he has won this hot dog eating contest, I don't know, 6 years in a row, 7 years in a row, something crazy. He set the record back in 2013. He ate 69 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's hot dog and bun, 69 of them in 10 minutes for Joey the Jaws Chestnut. He doesn't limit himself to just mere hot dogs. You like horseshoe sandwiches? The Jaws does. 6 pounds, 5 ounces of horseshoe sandwiches in 12 minutes. 12 minutes. A few hamburger records for you here. Joey the Jaws down to 103 Crystal Burgers. Those are the minis. 103 of them in 8 minutes. A guy named Don Lerman ate 11 and a quarter burgers. These are quarter pound burgers. Ate 11 and a quarter of them in 10 minutes. 11 quarter pound burgers in 10 minutes. And then we got Sonia the Black Widow Thomas. She ate 7 3-quarter pound burgers in 10 minutes. 7 3-quarter pound thick burgers in 10 minutes. Oh my. How about 36 peanut butter and banana sandwiches in 10 minutes? Bob Shout did that back in 2010. Pork and beans. I tried to do this one time on a bet to win some money. It didn't end well for me. Pork and beans. 84 ounces of baked beans. Get this. In 58 seconds. Micah Collins. 84 ounces of baked beans in under a minute at 58 seconds. Joey the Jaws, again, he's got a lot of records. He ate 62 pulled pork sliders in 10 minutes. Just what is up with these people to be able to eat that amount of food? And the thing about the competitive eaters, it's never like the large person that you would think would be great at this. I mean, these people are petite. They are tiny individuals. I don't know where all the food goes. 46 ears of sweet corn in 12 minutes. 46 ears of sweet corn in 12 minutes. That's just flat out impressive. Joey the Jaws, for some reason, decided to eat 53 soft Taco Bell tacos in 10 minutes. That should just be illegal. Toasted raviolis, 4 pounds of them in 12 minutes by the Black Widow, Sonia Thomas. 4 pounds of toasted raviolis in 12 minutes. And it's not just the volume of food that they're eating. It's the time limits that go on them that really make it staggering. How about just over 4 pounds of apple pie in 8 minutes? Yes, Joey the Jaws did that in 2013. You like asparagus? How about 12 pounds and 8 ounces of deep-fried asparagus in 10 minutes? Joey the Jaws did that. I don't know if they do the, they can't. These all have to be on individual days, you know. Enter an apple pie eating contest in the morning, the asparagus show off in the afternoon. How about bacon? 182 strips of bacon in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 182 strips of bacon. This one has always just grossed me out. Why someone would want to eat 7 quarter-pound sticks of salted butter in 5 minutes is beyond me. But Don Lerman certainly did it. He certainly did. 7 quarter-pound sticks of butter in 5 minutes. And, of course, I bring you these just to have some fun here on Independence Day. But the big Coney Island 4th of July hot dog eating contest comes up in a little over an hour today in New York City. 69 hot dogs, by the way, the record set by Joey the Joss. Who doesn't like chicken nuggets? I love chicken nuggets, but I cannot and will not eat 80 chicken nuggets in 5 minutes. Won't do it. But the Black Widow, Sonia Thomas, did just that. Chili, you know, usually best in moderation. Or you could eat 2.1 gallons in 6 minutes. However you want to do it, you know, it's your call. 2 gallons of chili in 6 minutes. Fair season, you go to the fair, whether it be a county fair, state fair, you got to get yourself a corn dog. Those big corn dogs they have at the fair. Well, Richard the Locust Lefevre ate 12 Texas fair or state fair corn dogs in 10 minutes. 12 state fair corn dogs for the state of Texas in 10 minutes. That is a lot. 49 glazed donuts in 8 minutes. That's not half bad. Some deep fried okra. Who wants it? 9.75 pounds of deep fried okra in 10 minutes. Deep fried calamari, 6.6 pounds. In 10 minutes. And then, last but certainly not least, 47 grilled cheese sandwiches in 10 minutes by Joey the Joss Chestnut. 47 grilled cheese sandwiches in 10 minutes. Now, it doesn't say if that was like on a Texas toast, what type of bread was used. Perhaps it doesn't really matter. 47 grilled cheese sandwiches is the world record by Joey the Jaw. So, you know, if you're sitting around today and you're bored with the family, why not break out some sort of competitive eating contest, you know? It can really be a fun way to pass the time on an Independence Day afternoon. But if you're interested in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, it happens 11 o'clock our time today in New York City. And people flood the streets. Dipping the buns in the water or the Kool-Aid. It's a nasty display, but for some reason I can't look away. I don't know. It draws me. Something about it just gets my attention, and I'm hooked. So that happens today. So as a result, we got to find out that you could eat 4 pounds of fruitcake in 10 minutes if you would like to be the world record holder in fruitcake eating. They have, basically, if it's edible, there is a competitive eating record for it. Hard-boiled eggs, 20 hard-boiled eggs in 84 seconds. Why not? 2 pounds of sliced ham in 5 minutes? Staggering. Competitive eating. You can go pro in just about anything, I guess. But again, I don't think there are D1 scholarships for competitive eating as of yet. Perhaps that's coming down the pipeline a little bit later. So we had some fun with that here on the 4th of July. We want to thank our guests today, Christina Kernich, Kelsey Carr, Dylan Miller. We were able to catch up with them earlier in the week and get their thoughts on their collegiate careers as Christina Kernich, a Mount Olive graduate playing softball at SLU, Kelsey Carr, a Carletonville graduate doing track and field at Wisconsin, and Dylan Miller, a Hillsboro graduate. He is at North Dakota State playing basketball. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Tim Mizey with you here on this Independence Day. Cardinal baseball this afternoon, live coverage coming up 12:20 on AM 1540 as Carlos Martinez will take to the bump for the Redbirds, and he will try to stop this 4-game losing streak. And that's always the sign of the ace, they say, in baseball. Stop that losing streak. And with Adam Wainwright down for the year, it's kind of a ace by committee, if you want. And just because you're a number one doesn't mean you're an ace. And right now the Cardinals probably don't have that quote-unquote ace. They've got a lot of really good, talented pitchers who potentially could develop into aces, whether it be Martinez or Michael Wacha. But right now they're probably not there. But young Carlos, he's had a sensational season to date, and he will have an opportunity now to add to that in a big way. Go out, stop the losing streak, get the Cardinals back on the right track and see if they can put together a little winning streak. But here it is. The way the Cardinals have been going here the last 4 games, even if Carlos Martinez goes out and pitches a dynamite game, you got to score to win. And right now the Cardinals are just not scoring runs. And it's really not a new problem. They didn't score a lot of runs last year. made a couple of minor tweaks to the lineup for this year. And for the most part, I don't know what the overall numbers are, but it seems they are all or nothing. You know, they'll get nights where they score 12, and they get nights where they score 1 or 2, and then doesn't seem to be a lot in between. They've won some games this year 12-2, lost some games 2-1. It's like, boy, if we could only just carry a few of those runs over, just get 3 or 4 a night, and it could be a little different, but that's not how it works, and it's just a tough game, just a flat-out tough game. But the Cardinals' offense needs to pick it up. Holiday out. He's hopefully back around the All-Star break, but that could be wishful thinking. He's starting to slowly ramp up the baseball-related activities here. He's been out, since about early June with that torn quad. Randall Grichuk, he's had a coming-out party this year. He has kind of exploded onto the scene. And on a week where the general manager for the Los Angeles Angels resigned or got forced out, however you want to put it, he is out. And, of course, John Mozeliak made the trade with that Angels GM in the David Freese deal, got Peter Borges in return, and then got somehow the Angels to throw in Randall Grichuk into that deal. And you start looking at what the Angels have given away here. They gave away Grichuk, and then they gave away Gene Segura, that great-looking shortstop for the Brewers. So the Angels could have potentially had Mike Trout, Randall Grichuk, and Gene Segura to go along with Albert Pujols. But as it is, two of those great young players are gone. And perhaps there was no way to know that Randall Grichuk was maybe going to turn into this type of player. And he's, you know, let's not put him in the Hall of Fame just quite yet. He's had a nice little couple of month run here. But he certainly has the promise and the look to somebody that could be a factor for years to come for the St. Louis Cardinals. And it'll be interesting when Holiday gets back. Do you just slide Grichuk over into center field and have Grichuk in center, Hayward in right, and Holiday in left? That sounds like a pretty formidable outfield to me. We shall see what the Redbirds want to do. But remember, Grichuk drafted a spot ahead of Mike Trout. Angels had back-to-back picks, went Grichuk and then Trout. And now here Grichuk is for the Cardinals. And he was in the major leagues, not even a year after the Cardinals made that trade. He was kind of blocked in that Angels outfield. Not the case in St. Louis. So Randall Grichuk has made the most of his opportunity. And, you know, that's what it's all about in sport, opportunity, whether it's high school, college, or pro. When you get that chance, when the coach calls your number, you don't know how long you're going to have the opportunity. Make the most of it. And boy, has Randall Grichuk done exactly that this year. So we'll see if he can continue his good ways here as the first half is just about to wrap up. The All-Star game is on July 14th. They're going to announce the All-Star teams tomorrow. The starters will be announced tomorrow. The full rosters revealed on Monday. As of the last fan voting, Matt Carpenter and Johnny Peralta were in line to start for the National League squad. I think Matt Holliday, despite being injured, was still in line in the outfield as well. And then Colton Wong and Yachty were right there in their position, second base and catcher, respectively. And you know there's going to be a lot of Cardinal pitchers on that All-Star roster as well, which necessarily isn't a good thing. You know, I just prefer the pitchers to take that week off. But when you're having a historic pitching year like the Cardinals are, they are going to be very well represented on the National League All-Star team. We want to thank Christina Kernich, Kelsey Card, and Dylan Miller as they gave us some of their time here on this Independence Day, the 4th of July, 76 degrees, winds out of the southeast at 2 miles an hour. Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.